Store. If you want early access to episodes, ad-free and exclusive bonus episodes, then subscribe to Germaniacs on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, Illy!
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, Gampy. Just a little voice note from your granddaughter, Jamie Wamey, from Los Angeles. The one whose lifestyle you're funding, in case you forgot. Store, I'm just calling because Courtney said that you're in hospital. Oh, you poor baby. I wanted to see if you're okay. And Dad told me I have to call, and he said it in his crazy voice. Here we are. Last time we spoke, I gave you the little tour of Fidim. Since then, I did a fashion show there. This is Simon, that I did with my friend Prisha. Elke Galkison from Galk was there. Ask Gwen, she'll know. So she came to the show and basically said, I'm the next big thing. The one to watch, was the exact wording. And she posted my designs on her Instagram story, and she's got over 10 million followers. So basically I'm like blowing up right now. Just bragging and, giving you a little thrill as you lie there in hospital. You're probably bored shitless. Gampy, I was thinking next time I have a show at Fidim, you should totally come to it. Like fly first class. Like, you've got the money for it, as we well know. Stay at the Four Seasons, come see my show, mingle after. I'm not sucking up for any weird reason, don't worry. I just want you to be proud of me. It would be great to see you here in the flesh. I feel like we've bonded a lot in the last few years, and I'm loving that for you. Anyway, better go. Gotta record my podcast. It's amazing. Hope the nurses are letting you listen to it. Love you, Gampy, from your innocent little granddaughter, Jamie. Baba.
This week on Gymazing, Hugo blows my mind. Kwame's glory hole hut, giving off a Jesus vibe. The dick and balls flop goes viral. And did a possum really tell me to get bangs? Your weekly dose of fashion school life and marriage advice. From the creme de la creme of students, the first lady of Fanny Flutterland. I'm Jemay, JAMIE. I'm quiche, I'm rich, I'm a bitch, and I'm Jemazing.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, Jemaniacs. Okay, I am flipping out right now. Something incredible has happened that you are not going to believe. And I've just raced home to tell you guys. It's like next level. So, remember the show from last week and how Hugo, the hobo, walked in our show, obs, and he like crouched down and the seam ripped and his cock and balls flopped out. Well, this influencer girl who was in the audience that was sitting like right in the front row when it happened, filmed it, posted it on TikTok. So Queen Letitia from the Pussy Palace reposted it with this like bitchy commentary, like bagging me. But everyone just fucking loved the footage and it's gone massively viral now. So it's like totally backfired on Queen Letitia, which I'm loving. And people are like doing remake videos and like girls are doing it with like sausages in their like pants, like falling out. And, And they're doing like the half beard, half like putting wigs on, like cutting them half. Oh my God, it's going off. Like it's fully trending. So Hugo is like famous now because of me. It's all just blown up in the last week. Oh my God. Anyway, so I've just been like replaying the footage and like seeing it over and over and like remembering the kiss that me and Hugo did on the like runway. And it's giving me like fanny flutters just like thinking about it. Like the sensation of having like half your face like spiked with facial hair and the other like all soft, it really turns me on. No, that's kind of weird, but and also I'm not into teabagging, but like seeing the footage of like the squat and the flop out is kind of like making me like imagine him like teabagging me. Like I can fully picture it, and it's like yeah, I would. So anyway, that's not even the crazy thing that I'm freaking out about. That's like the build up to like the crazy exciting story, which is that me and Prisha went to Silver Lake. I know, random. But like Prisha's like into it and wanted to like go to that fabric place to browse. So we're at Sunset Junction, just like strolling the shops and like working the footpath. And Prisha suddenly like grabs my arm really tight and she's like squealing. I'm like, what the fuck's wrong? And she like pulls me over and she's like, oh my God, Shemay, it's Hugo. And she's pointing across the road and I'm like, where? Like looking for a hobo. And there's this hot young couple like walking down the street and the girl's like linked arms with the guy. And I'm like, that guy? And Prisha goes, it's Hugo. I'm telling you, it's definitely Hugo. So I run over the road to like get a better look and I'm like squinting and staring at the guy and trying to like work out if it's him, because I've never seen him like without the like other half of his face like shaved. And then he calls out, Jemay, hi. And I like nearly fucking had a heart attack. And I'm like, Hugo, is that you? And like, I fully knew at this stage that it was him, but I'm like, I was being like random. And me and Prisha walk up to him and I'm like blown away by like how hot he looks without the beard and his hair like short and he's all cleaned up and he just looks so amazing. He's wearing like these jeans, a little rip and this gray t-shirt. And the girl was really hot too, but I'm like, who is this fucking bitch? Like I've been like masturbating over your boyfriend all morning and I don't appreciate your existence. Anyway, luckily, Hugo goes, this is my sister, Hannah. And I'm like, wait, hold up, please explain. Because like I never thought like about homeless people like having sisters, but obs they do. But I'm kind of like semi-relieved also because I'm like, thank God he's still a veil. So the story was, so after the show last week, Hugo said like he felt really inspired and like even seeing half his face back to his old self reminded him of like everything he had before, like before he became homeless. And he charged up his phone and he checked his messages. And it turns out his sister Hannah had sent like hundreds of messages, like trying to track him down over the last few months. Like she didn't know where he was. So he replied, they met up and he's moved in with his sister in Silver Lake and got all cleaned up. And she's like, she's going to now like look after him till he like gets back on his feet. Oh my God, it's like such a happy ending story. And he goes, thank you, Jemay, for everything. Like fully thanked me, saying that like I'm the reason he's not homeless anymore. And I'm like, I know, this is my thing. I'm like a povo person fairy. Like I just like make everything better. I've done it before, I'll do it again. So yeah, he said the fashion show just like changed his life and gave him like confidence. Oh, and he said, I'm like a really good kisser too. Oh my God, can you believe it? And he said he could feel my lip filler and he was like worried that it like was going to pop. And so like he was trying to not go that hard, which is so nice. Oh my God, he's so cute. And anyway, so now he wants to go back to his old job again. So apparently he had a job before he ended up homeless. And I'm like, what did you do? Like, what was your job? And he goes, I'm a barrister. and my jaw is like on the floor. He kind of pronounced it weirdly. And I'm like, I could not fucking believe it. A fucking barrister. Like, I did legal studies in year 12 and topped the class. So like, I'm basically like a QC myself, but like non-practicing. But I'm like, wow, I can't believe that was your old job. And he's like, yeah. Like, I never would have picked him to be like rich. I mean, like, qualified and yeah, just like smart. It's just really cool. Yeah, so it's kind of really working out for me. So we just kind of like awkwardly said goodbye at that point. And I left Hugo and Hannah, his sister, in Silver Lake on the street. But like now I'm really into him. I was talking to Prisha on the way home. I'm like, I can't stop thinking about him. And now I know he's got like the potential to be rich. Like if he gets back into his barrister thing and I don't know, like who would have thought, Shemaniacs? Do you know what? Like the world works in crazy ways. Like I feel like the universe kind of like delivering me a hot barrister like right now when I need one. Like everything's been going so weirdly for me in the last few years and now like this could work out so well. Oh my God, I just can't get my head around it. It's so crazy. Anyway, more later, Shemaniacs. I'm going to just have a breather and just like probably masturbate over him again. Anyway, bye. Hi, so I'm sitting by the pool at Casa de los Ricos. I'm in one of the cabanas. So it's kind of like almost soundproof. You can hear a little bit of pool noise. There were kids making all this noise before, but I was like setting up all the gear and I was like, can you just shut the fuck up? And one of them started crying, but like I'm a resident. They run off now, so hopefully the coast is clear so I can record my potty in my new location. Rose was here before fanning me, but yeah, he's got to go like trim a hedge or something. So I told him he can have a break to do that and come back and fan me again and bring me a spicy mug. It's mama's time of the day. I'm actually really bad at rosé at the moment because, you know, the whole green card thing and how I was like thinking of marrying him to get one. So turns out he doesn't even have papers. Like he's fully illegal. So I can't marry him anyway. And he was like virtually proposing to me. So yeah, it'd be pointless. He was like begging, but like he just wants to consummate the marriage on the wedding night, I reckon. He'd probably divorce me after that. I just don't trust him. Anyway, so do you guys remember my sleep talk app? Sorry, for those that don't remember, I've got this app and I put it on every night. And it goes like next to your bed. So when you're asleep, anytime like you make a noise, it triggers and records what you say. Well, I use it all the time, like every night. And mostly it's just farting, but like I don't really talk that often, but last night I was going crazy with the talking. I woke up so many times, like random little things I was saying. I was like, oh my God, this recording's going to be so crazy. So I wanted to play you guys some of them from last night. What have we got?
Kwame, Kwame, Kwame. Play my booby drums.
I know, right? Random. I wish I could remember the dream attached to that, but I often have this dream that Kwame has me locked in this like hut and he's peering through these little eye holes and then they become a glory hole and rah, rah, rah. Anyway, then there was this one.
I want to wear the nappy.
Not sure about that one. Then there's this one.
Carry me to the fire and cook me like a piggy, piggy, bum, bum.
I think that I was having this dream that was a musical about me getting cooked by Kwame. It was like an extension of the other dream. Kwame's like cooking me on this spit thing. Anyway, so this is the main one that I wanted to show you guys.
Hugo, Hugo, the hot hobo. I do thee wed, I thee wed. rich green card.
Do you guys hear that? I fully said Hugo the Hot Hobo. I do, Ivy wed. It's fully a sign that I'm probably going to marry Hugo. Like, what else could that mean? And if I did marry him, I'd not only, like, be the wife of a barrister, but I'd get a green card and could live here in America forever and start my fashion career as, like, a fully-fledged, like, US citizen. Do you get it, Shemaniacs? My God, my subconscious is like telling me. So anyway, that was last night. So this morning I got an Uber to Prisha's over at Fitham and we went to Silver Lake because I was like, I have to track down Hugo and like suss him out. But like, I don't have his number. Like, I didn't even know he had a phone until yesterday. And I don't know where he lives. Like, he was just in a tent outside Fitham until, like, last week. But now he's at his sister's somewhere in Silver Lake. But, like, who knows where. So I told Prisha that we just have to, like, strut up and down, like, the shops at Silver Lake, like, all day. And just, like, hopefully he'll show up at some stage. And then I can, like, hit him up and get his number and... like, start sexting or whatever, like, do an accidental nude and just be like, oh, my God, that wasn't for you, and, like, see if he's keen. That's what I usually do. So I wanted to look good for that moment when he sees me. So I was, like, in my really short denim shorts, like, they're kind of, like, dental floss levels short. They're just like this thin denim strip. Like you can barely make out that it's denim. It's that thin. I had to get Prisha to see if there's any stray pubes that she could pull out because there's a lot on display. My knee-high boots going with them and then my cute little I love cum crop top. Then we just like strutted up and down, went to heaps of cafes and just like kept our eyes peeled all day. Cafecito Organico, Lemille Coffee Boutique. And then I made these signs that I put on telegraph poles. It was like this cute like picture of me in a swimsuit. I just printed out like a pic that I took like a few months back. And then it said, Hugo, call me. And I had little like strips at the bottom, like cut up little strips that he could rip off, like if he sees it, like heaps of them. So hopefully I don't get too many hoax calls. We didn't end up seeing him. I saw Natalia, weirdly, that clay girl that taught me and who I got to come over to the Pussy Palace and she looked hot. She kind of saw me and crossed the road. I think she's like still traumatized after the brown jacuzzi sesh disaster. I don't blame her. So am I. Oh my God. I just got a text. Is it Hugo? Please be fucking Prisha. Oh my God. I'm going to block the bitch in a minute. I'm waiting for my future husband to call. I need this fucking green card stat. Anyway, that's the situation, guys. More later. Ask Your Maze coming up next, Your Maniac. Illy.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, Jemai. It's Tash from Canberra. I just had a question for you about using animals as psychics. Because I really liked how you used the squirrels to help you decide what to do. But I live in Australia, of course, and we don't have squirrels here. And I was thinking of using possums, but they seem really dodgy, TBH. So do you have any advice? Illy, thanks.
Illy, hi, Tash. Stay case, Tori, babe. Look, that is a really good one. I get a lot of questions about this. As you guys would know, the squirrels tipped me off that Amber was in love with me. And the mountain lion, of course, made my fateful decision for me to move back to Australia. he got that wrong, but it's very rare that they don't nail it, the animals. For those of you that don't remember, the process is like I write down my dilemma choices on paper with little piles of food in front of the paper, and then the animal just kind of like decides by nibbling like the appropriate pile. But yeah, I've always been a bit of a Snow White, as I often say, and animals are like quite drawn to me, I find. And we do usually have quite a good rapport, except for Demi Lovato, of course, who is a fucking bitch to me, literally. But other than that, I do quite often, look to the animal kingdom to make my hard decisions. So, yeah, as you mentioned, maybe using possums in Australia to substitute the squirrel to try to get some advice, that's a hard no. Don't even try. Look, the possum is a really dodgy animal, as you say. They're very manipulative, and they can often, like, intentionally give you, like, extremely bad advice just to, like, see you fuck up. They just get off on it. I once had this possum tell me to get bangs. I had, like, two pieces of paper, bangs or side part on my windowsill in year eight. I was deciding what to do. And, yeah, obs, bangs would have been foul. So, yeah. So, yeah, I would avoid the possums in Canberra, Tash, for any advice that you might need. As my mum always says, a good possum's a dead possum. I've mostly had really great experiences with animals, though, pointing me in the right direction usually. I remember actually one time I was 12, my parents took me to, me and Courtney, the whole family went to Rottnest Island to see the quokkas. And I remember I wanted this quokka bum bag in the gift shop, and I was like praying that I'd get it. It was really cute. And I begged my mum and dad and they said no. And then when I was patting a quokka, I whispered in the quokka's ear, will I get the bum bag or not? Smile if you think I'm going to get it. And then the quokka glances up at me and smiles. Seriously. And guess what? Dad did buy it for me. I got the bum bag. The quokka was right. So yeah, a lot of history of like animals really helping me out. Also, don't limit yourself to marsupials, babe. Because I remember being like really devo because this boy, when I was in year eight, he was in year 12, older man. But we talked to the station, everything. And I was really into him. But he didn't invite me to the year 12 formal. And I was so devo and like crying and I was sobbing into my pillow and I was saying, I'm not quiche. I thought it was all about my quicheness levels. And I was saying, I'm not quiche enough. And then as I was crying, I glanced down and I saw this cockroach on the floor. And it just kind of like froze on my floor. And so I was in the bed and I was like staring down at it. And I said, hey, cockroach, am I quiche? Give me a sign. Am I quiche? Then the cockroach's like little head, like you know how they have those little heads, it kind of extended out a bit, like really slowly, and then it did this slow like yes nod at me, and I was like, oh my god, thank you, like it was so nice. So yeah, the insect well can be like a really great place for advice if you need it. They're always there to help, I find. What else? Oh, I actually had a dog speak to me once, like it actually spoke, like it said a word. Long story, but basically I was like hooking up with this guy for a while in first year uni, Scotty, and I was like having a sleepover at his after we went clubbing, and like he always slept with his dog, Roddy, and like so I'd get in bed and then Roddy would climb up in the bed. So I'm like squished between Scotty and Roddy, and Roddy's like facing me and he's like snoring and his like black lips are like fluttering with like every breath and his doing that kind of dog dreaming thing where his paws move slightly. And then I notice his eyes open and he's staring straight at me. And then I look down and realize one of my tits has popped out the top of my t-shirt during the night because I was like, you know, hammered and didn't realize. And Roddy the dog's like hardcore, like perving at my tit. And Jermaniacs and Tash, I swear to God, I'm not lying. The dog spoke and he goes,
"Keesh."
Seriously, he fully said the word "keesh" in like a dog's voice. I am not kidding you, Jermaniacs. It's like, that was like, oh my God, for me. And I was on like such a high for weeks after, like trying to get him to talk more, but he never did again. But yeah, just knowing that dogs find me hot is like, that was like the main thing that really, I was really excited about. And I was like spending a lot of time in parks, just trying to like get their attentions up. But yeah. So yeah, I hope that helps, Tash. Yeah, no to the possums in Canberra, but yeah. Maybe try a cockroach for some advice. Let me know how you go. Thanks for your message, Tash. Bye. Oh my God, Jermaniacs. Okay, I've rushed to the microphone. I'm inside my condo. It's the next day. I'm just with Prisha. She's outside in the hammock while I record. I just wanted to capture the moment because the most fucking insane thing has just happened. So me and Prisha just like walked over to the Grove to do some shopping. And I wanted a coffee. So we went into Starbucks and you'll never guess who was working there. Hugo, fucking Hugo, the hobo working at fucking Starbucks. Looking all like clean cut and hot and stuff, but he's working the fucking coffee machine in Starbucks. And I'm like gasping, like couldn't breathe and like almost collapsed. And like Prisha's trying to like calm me down. And then I just go over to him and I'm like, "Hugo, hi, what are you doing here?" And he's in his like Starbucks uniform and stuff. And he said, "I told you I'm a barista. I just got my old job back." He's a fucking barista, not a fucking barrister. I'm so mad. Oh my God. I thought he said it weirdly when he said it, but I just thought it was like the accent. And but he meant he makes coffee at fucking Starbucks the whole time. And I'm like, fuck my actual life. Like I thought I was fucking sitting pretty for a while there. I thought I could like seduce him and like marry him for a green card and like live the life of like a hot American wife of a barrister. Now my whole fucking world's been turned upside down. So unfair. Like he's hot and I still want to marry him for the green card, but like I can't help saying to people like my husband works at Starbucks. Like I'd have to get a better job. Like that was never the dream for me as a hot young girl at Hilford. Like, it's probably not anyone's dream, I guess, but I'm just devour. It's like, I tried to not act too like disappointed in front of him or to like reveal what I actually thought. Cause I thought like, I don't like put him off and be a bitch. But, so yeah, I just ordered an oat milk frappuccino and just like, he wrote my name on the cup. Oh, this is really cute. He drew like big lips on the cup, like referencing my like current lip filler situation, which is like kind of hectic. And it was kind of like flirty of him to do that, like reference the lips. So I was kind of like loving that and like getting the fanny flutters still. And then I just sipped it in the corner at a high table with Prisha, just like staring at him for ages. And like I was doing this little giggle look away thing whenever he looked over. Oh my God. Just like watching him like frost the milk and his cute little uniform. And he was like stroking the milk off that like that little squirty thing. It was really hot. It's kind of tragic, but, you know, hot as well. And I feel kind of proud of myself because, like, reaching out to him, like, going to him when he was in his tent and he was all homeless and stuff, like, has triggered this whole, like, situation of him getting his, like, life back on track. And I kind of think, like, that's how I felt with Kwame and, like, Sonali back in the day. Like, I'm kind of like a Jesus vibe person. Like, I give off a Jesus vibe, I reckon. Like, reaching out and, like, healing people. And, yeah, just even Rosé has been kind of, like, touched by the hand of Jesus when he met me. Yeah, maybe I'm actually the next Jesus and I don't even realize. How would I even know if I was? I don't know. I don't even get it. Anyway, I don't know what to do, but I'm desperate for a green card, Jermaine Yarks. Wait a sec. I'm just getting an email. My God, who's that from? Mr. Hornery. What the hell? It's Saturday. What does he want? Hi, Jermaine and Prisha. Oh, it's to both of us. Just forwarding this correspondence from Elke Galkison. What the fuck? Oh, my God. It's an email from Elke Galkison to me and Prisha that he sent to Mr. Hornery. Okay. Prisha, come in. That's an email for us. Oh, my God. Okay. I'm just going to read it to you guys. Okay. It's from Elke. Hope you're well, lovelies. How are you two placed for next week to make an impromptu trip to New York with me? I'm featuring some up-and-coming student designers in a little showcase I'm doing for New York Fashion Week. I'd love you to be part of it. Let me know, darlings. Elke X. Oh, my fucking God. This is fucking amazing. New York Fashion Week. Prisha, open your fucking email and read it. Get out of the hammock, you lazy bitch. We're going to New York. Oh, my God. Oh my God, maybe Gambi can come to like New York and see me like in action. If he's out of hospital, that would be so good. I've got to go celebrate with Prisha, guys. She's freaking out too. She's just read the email. Oh my God. Illy Jermaniacs is the best news. More next week from New York City. Stay kish, everyone. I'd love you so fucking much. Nahugan. Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So if you want early access to episodes, ad-free and exclusive bonus episodes, then subscribe to Jermaniacs on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, Illy!